Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Philippians chapter 2. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. This is the text. As we are in the midst of spending a few weeks reading through Paul's letter to the Philippians, it quickly becomes clear that he means for us, his readers, to be filled with encouragement. This is probably Paul's most encouraging letter. Ironically, it's written while he's sitting in prison for the terrible crime of being a Christian. And he has been a prisoner for some time. And he will remain a prisoner the rest of his life. Yet he is filled with joy. Not the happy euphoria that we often equate with joy, but rather Paul is filled with relief, contentment, the lifting of burdens off of his shoulders. The joy Paul has is that no matter what may come, no matter what burdens or persecution or execution may come his way, whether he finds himself in a time of need or a time of plenty, he is filled with joy and relief, and he is content. Whether or not Paul will ever get to see the good people of Philippi again, what is important is that together they remain in the oneness of faith, in the word which Christ has given, that he died for their sake, and he is risen. So, as Paul says, whether I live or whether I die, I do so to the Lord. So last week we heard Paul begin his letter to the Philippians, saying, I desire to die and be with Christ. Complete communion and fellowship with Christ, which is better by far. However, he says, I know that I have fruitful labor here in Christ's church on earth, therefore, convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you. And this clear gospel of Jesus Christ, dying and rising, being the only thing that matters, is what we are encouraged to joyfully and boldly tell everyone who will listen. Even telling it to those who stand against us. Even if our telling them will inspire them to kill us. I mean, what is happening to the Christians in the Middle East these days, and now I guess here in America too, I guess the news reports from Oklahoma are correct. What has been happening to us? It's terrifying and shocking, I know. It's horrifying to us, yet this is the history of God's people. We simply have chosen to ignore it throughout most of our lives. I mean, in the country of Sudan alone, 2 million Christians have been killed since 1950 for the terrible crime of being a Christian. Yet, to our joy and theirs, the church has grown during that time period from next to nothing to more than 10 million. Even though 2 million of them have been killed. There is no glorious life here for the people of God on this earth. That is not what is promised. The life of faith and the glory that we are promised is not to be found here. Now, when we do find joy and peace and prosperity, we give thanks to God, and we are reminded of what Jesus says, to those who have been given much, much more will be demanded. But don't listen to the TV preachers or anyone else who tries to sell you this gospel of prosperity, that the goal of your faith is that Jesus wants you to be happy. That's nowhere in Scripture. It is not for us to see the glory. We believe the glory. It is coming, but there are no guarantees that any glory will be found in this journey here on earth. Paul says, to live is Christ, to die is to gain. So all of what Paul has been talking about in the first part of his letter to the Philippians is concerning Jesus and what he has done and what he has provided for us by his suffering. Well, it would make sense that what follows is also all about Jesus and what he has done. So Paul says, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation, koinonia in the Spirit, and we're going to spend some time on that word this week and next week because it's going to show up again in Philippians chapter 3. This is a favorite word of Paul. Koinonia, it can mean participation here as it is translated. So long as we realize that you and I are not the ones causing the active participation. This is not an action word for us. This word can refer to community, a fellowship, like in the Lord of the Rings, the Fellowship of the Ring, which is the first book. If you read those books or saw the movies, their fellowship in the first book, it's a good demonstration of koinonia. They were of one mind. And then at the end, their fellowship was broken. The dictionary definition is to share with someone in something. That's koinonia. In 1 Corinthians, this is the Holy Communion word. We have koinonia in Christ. But we only have this because of the presence of Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We have a real union and communion and participation, but we are not the ones making it happen. This is God's work in you. Christ comes to you. The Holy Spirit makes you to be of one mind, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. It is similar to what we've been talking about in some of the Bible classes we've had lately and confirmation class also. What does it mean to be holy? Holiness, biblically speaking, is about proximity to God. When Moses was instructed to take off his sandals because the place where he was standing was holy ground, there was nothing special about that dirt on Mount Sinai. It was just that the dirt was in close proximity to God in the burning bush as he spoke to Moses. During the years in the wilderness, when Moses met with God and he would come back to tell the people what the Lord had said, his face would be glowing, not by virtue of his own goodness or righteousness, but he had gotten closer to the divine, and the lingering radiance remained because of holiness. The people of Israel were holy because God was in the middle of them, and he was continually cleansing them of their unrighteousness, taking their sins upon himself. But it was his presence that made them holy. Most people today speak of holiness as if it's the same as righteousness, and it's easy to get them confused, but it's important to keep them separate. Righteousness, being justified, then being led by the Spirit to do good works, conducting your life according to the commandments of God, are certainly all wonderful things, encouraged, certainly, but that is not holiness. That is righteousness. Holiness is about proximity, closeness to God. We are to, as the old prayer says, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest the words of the gospel. We are to have a participation, koinonia, in the broken body and shed blood of Jesus Christ. And that is what we have. And it is beyond fantastic that we offer Holy Communion, that it is offered here in each of our worship services every weekend. The actual body and blood of the Son of God, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, is here in close proximity to you each and every time we gather together. The Holy Spirit has called you by the gospel, enlightened you with his gifts of word and sacrament. That is holiness. It is in God's word where he speaks to you. It is in Jesus, who is the Word made flesh, who made his dwelling among us, who still comes to you in holy communion. Participation in the close proximity of God. That's what holy communion means. And it happens here because the Word of God is joined with that bread and wine, comes to you under that form of bread and wine as Jesus promised. As he says, take, eat, this is my body. Take, drink, this is my blood. God physically enters into you in a way in which Moses did not even participate. Be of one mind in Christ, Paul says. Draw near and partake. Participate. Have koinonia in the body and blood of Christ our Lord. You are holy. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.